What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. Shout out. I need somebody to remind me in 6 days, my mother's birthday is the next day. 7 days from today, big old Jamie Kennedy's birthday. I don't want to forget that. All right, Andy? Thank you. And
how old is she? It's rude to ask.
Yeah, no way. I'm saying my mom would come through the TV screen and grab me and shake me like
a... Do you remember how old your mom is?
Of course, yeah.
I can never remember how old my parents are.
Really? No. See, I have it... I mean, I'll give it away here, all right? But it's easy for me because when I was born, my mom was 30.
Okay.
So I just add 30 to my age. Done. Perfect. Got it. Done it. Over here, me Irish cream Danny O'Dwyer returning to Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my shillelagh.
Top of the morning to you.
I thought about trying to get the old one, your goodbye graphic back up here, but it's just cool Greg running the machine today, and I didn't want to stress him out any more than he already
is. At least one Kinda Funny best friend tweets that picture to me every week.
Yeah.
Like, with some sort of, like, reason, especially during fucking Paddy's week.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's
coming thick and fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't worry.
Vaguely racist questions about your St. Patrick's Day and kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Just like, how was it? And what? I'm like, I don't think we need to rehash Danny's St. Patrick's Day.
You know what's a fucking bummer is that I live in outside Annapolis now,
yeah,
in Maryland.
You moved to Maryland.
And they fucking did a Paddy's Day parade a week before Paddy's Day. Paddy's Day landed on a Saturday,
yeah,
and they did it the fucking Saturday before. And I didn't know until I went into town that day, and it was all these people wearing fucking...
Decked out.
Like, shamrock top hats, which was never a thing. I don't know where they pull that one from.
We just like top hats here in America.
I guess. And I was like, wow, they're really into it here.
So were you offended that you missed it, or offended that they were celebrating too early, or offended that they were celebrating with appropriate headwear?
Like all of the above.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with the plastic patties, as we call them. The sort of like the version of Irishness that exists over here.
Sure.
Paddy's Day. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah,
I think
it's
awesome.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to celebrate my culture, fucking go for it. Shamrock shakes.
Is that your
down.
Culture? Is the shamrock shake your culture?
I mean, like, what is culture?
You'll take it where you can get it.
Exactly.
Someone's thinking of Ireland. Good enough. Yeah.
I was pissed that, like, they put on this parade, presumably for me, because I was the only Irish I think I'm the only Irish person that lives there.
Yeah.
Like, definitely not. And they never told me.
Well, you're, like, the most pure-blooded Irish person that lives
pure
there.
Pure-blooded.
You know what I mean?
And the most Aryan Irish person.
That's what they were. That's what it's all about, right? Welcome back. You're here for GDC.
I am.
Cheers. Thank you
and
for coming through. And for me,
absolutely.
Danny. What are you up to this week?
We're showing Jeremy Jane is in the background here, who shoots all no clip stuff.
Take a lap, Jeremy.
Do it. Yeah, get it.
Take a lap on through.
He's never
wave
on camera.
Wave to the pretty people.
Look at him.
There he is. Yeah. See.
Beautiful Jeremy
He's making
Jane.
No clip happen.
Yeah. He shoots all our stuff. Esteban Martinez on the East Coast as well shoots a bunch of our patron stuff, a lot of it.
Yeah.
But Jeremy's the main shooter for all of our docs. We're showing off the Horizon Zero Dawn doc at GDC's Film Festival.
That's awesome.
This year.
That is so awesome.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is a documentary that has been available to watch
on the
internet
don't
for like
anybody.
4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see if anyone turns up.
I'm sure they will. You kidding me? On the big screen, where are they doing it?
Boom. And like they're setting up like a space in Yerba Buena somewhere.
Nice. Is that tonight?
Yes, 7:30 tonight.
Okay.
So I think
you
need to have like a GDC pass to actually get in anyway.
Sure.
And it's not a big space apparently, but they're showing loads of really cool docs. You should check out a bunch of Outside Lands. They're showing a bunch of their stuff, which hasn't been shown yet. I've seen a bunch of it, and it fucking is amazing.
Yeah.
There's loads of really good documentaries on the GDC website. You can check them all out. There's also a Steam page up for every movie that's being shown at GDC. Our docs on it, so you can watch it through Steam, including, and so is like every other doc I think available. Some of them, they're selling for like half price. A lot of them, most of them are like free, like special effect are showing something there as well.
Oh, okay.
So there's loads of like cool stuff there. So if you're in the mood at all to watch any of those movies, go on Steam, go on YouTube, find them all out.
That's awesome. And you guys are, on Steam now too, right? I saw some stuff
that
go
was
up there.
The first one that's on Steam. And we're eventually going to get all of our back catalog up
that's
there.
That's fucking really cool, dude.
But that was like a fun little, let's see what, like, this is weird.
Yeah.
So you can do shit like, we can't because we don't sell on it, but if you sell the docs, you can do stuff like put trading cards in there.
Do it.
For like timestamps
on
the
videos. Just sell it for a penny or something. It'd be something goofy.
So that's what we want to do. We can't do it with any of the ones we've done so far because of the licensing, the way we've produced them. That's how we make them so cheap, kind of. But we want to do something where we like load up like some 99-cent video full of like fucking cool stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can just go like add to Steam library now and
it's
on your like video game list.
Look at you doing big stuff.
Ah.
You're awesome.
Getting there slowly but surely.
No, you're killing it. What's the next documentary coming down for you?
We've got a couple in the works, some we can't talk about. Okay. We got some really big stuff coming in the next like 6 months, which are like once you hear about them, you'll send me a text and be like, what the fuck? Yeah. They're like really cool ones.
Patapon, huh? Wow. You heard it here first. Simpsons Hit and Run, cool Greg.
I just had a chat with Lauren Lanning, actually. Yeah. So who knows?
He'd be a perfect one, dude. For real. Lauren's awesome.
Should have done it when I lived in
Oakland. Would have been easier, but now you get a free quote unquote trip to come out and do it. You know,
totally. And Jeremy lives like 5 minute walk.
There you go. Perfect.
Studio.
Yeah. See?
So that'd be cool. We're doing one on accessibility with the folks from Able Gamers.
Oh, nice.
We're shooting that. So, but that's probably going to come out maybe. We're going to take our time on that one.
Okay.
We still have this one from GOG we shot in Poland. That'll be going up soon enough. And a bunch of like cool ones that you'll hear about soon. The one that went up this week is the Warframe documentary.
Yeah.
So part one is already up on YouTube now. Part two will be up. It's up for patrons on our early access tier now. But if you just like wait another like 20 hours, it'll be on the YouTube channel for everyone else.
Awesome.
And that's a fucking fascinating story. That was a really fun one to do because that game is like, that studio has touched like so many massive games like Unreal Tournament, they were basically responsible for with Epic, like all the Dark Sector madness. They made the Darkness 2.
Yeah.
Solar Winds and Epic Pinball and Extreme Pinball, all these games. And then the story of how they made Warframe and how they almost went bust during it is fascinating. It's one of my favorite docs we've ever done.
That's
But it's
awesome,
definitely
dude.
An obscure story. So if you've any interest, that's why we split it up into two smaller docs, because I thought we might get people in on the first one more.
Sure. Yeah,
if it's 30 minutes. It was originally going to be like one big one like Horizon.
Yeah.
And I thought, people are weird about video length sometimes.
They click on us too long. I don't have this much time.
So I thought, we'll get it under 30. So it's like 28. And the second part is like 36, I think.
Awesome.
But I think that first one sets up the second one really good. So
that's really cool, Danny. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Where can
everybody watch your content?
YouTube.com/noclipvideo.
Okay,
and awesome. One video on Steam. Search for Noclip.
Get it on the PSN. That's what you got to get. That's where it's all about. You know what I mean?
I want to put it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like as many places we can put it without like messing up our licensing. Yeah. I'm all about it. Like maybe we'll put them up on Twitch some stage. I know they have their VOD stuff.
Yeah.
Like if they maybe did a bit more with that, maybe we'll put them up there as well. Like I think we were able to
get them to people. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And like the coolest thing was the day we put it up on Steam, we started getting like messages on our YouTube channel, and I got messages through like our contact form on the website from people saying like, I had no idea you were a thing.
Wow.
Like, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to watch all the old.
That's what it's all about, right? Breaking out. Yeah. Try to figure out where the new audiences is.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's hard when it's like, I mean, you have the same problem, right? When you're a small team, and especially when you're making so much content all the time.
Yeah.
It's like difficult to try and like get your fingers out into all those different pies.
What platforms are burgeoning? Where should I be putting stuff? Right. How do I make that happen? I wouldn't even know how to start getting stuff on Steam, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And also like trying to burst into those other little communities. Like you're everywhere. Like you go do the Rooster Teeth stuff and like you're on like all of these different platforms. And that's so important for like that audience growth and getting the stuff out there. And I feel like that's like the hardest thing for like established creators as well as new people starting out. It's just trying to get eyeballs, man, because there's so much stuff now. Like remember when internet video was like, you wanted internet.
You could actually see it all.
You
had your pulse on. You had your finger on
GameSpot
the pulse.
GameSpot and IGN were producing stuff. And like, that was it.
Yeah.
Everything else was text.
Yeah.
But like, now it's like, you know, lifetime's worth of video goes up every hour on the internet about video games.
Yeah.
You never watch it all. So it's fucking nuts.
Real quick.
Yeah.
And this doesn't matter for live as much, but it's going to fuck up Cool Greg's afternoon.
Okay.
Because the sponsors can't curse on the show anymore. Mm. So he's got to go through and edit all his curse words.
Cool Greg. Where is he? Is he over there?
I'm just fucking with you. Fuck pussy bitch. It doesn't matter. What's up, everybody? This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can listen later on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. If you are one of the people watching us live on
Spotify.
Twitch. Yeah, oh yeah.
Jesus.
It's a big deal now.
It's hard to get on there.
I know.
Fair play.
Trust me, it took us a long time. And then it just happened one day. It's a story. If you're watching live, however, on Twitch, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, housekeeping. Today is Tuesday. MCU in review is up. Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
Go check it out. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. It's got a dynamite recap from me, as usual. Yeah. A lot of classic University of Kansas basketball references circa 2004.
Those Venn diagrams.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, Dan Reichert's like, what? I want to know all about this. And today we're sponsored by Brooklinen and Hims, but I'll tell you about that later in the show. For now, let's begin Kind of Funny Games Daily with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Wow, you put some English on that. I like that. That was coming in hot.
Have you seen the amount of bullet points that are on this first story?
Yeah, that's a lot.
A baker's dozen.
Is it really 13?
It's literally 13.
Huh.
It happened. It finally happened.
This morning, while I was still showering, Nintendo did one of their little Nintendo Directs about the Nindies and the Nindie Showcase and all
that
jazz.
It's so rude of them.
It is.
They could have waited until
nobody thinks about me. And I was like, I'll catch up and it won't matter. And then, right, of course, they came out of the gate fucking Lumines. Lumines.
Is that what? Yeah, how we pronounce
it's
it?
Lumines, but it's like Lumines, when I was playing it on my PSP in Missouri, I was calling it Lumines because I was a moron. Lumines was one of them. Lumines Remastered. It's coming out spring 2018. It is also coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One. That'll be in new dates for you.
That's great.
Among the other games, this is a list I'm stealing from IGN, so if they're wrong, sorry, it's on them. Mark of the Ninja Remastered, awesome, coming fall 2018. Fantasy Strike, summer 2018. Just Shapes and Beats, summer 2018. Garage, spring 2018, first on Switch. Pool Panic, 2018, Switch exclusive. Bomb Chicken, summer 2018, first on Switch. Bomb Chicken. Reigns, King and Queens, spring 2018.
Awesome. Love Reigns.
Lightfall, spring 2018. West of Loathing, spring 2018. This is a Switch exclusive. This is one you've got to fucking
play.
This
game looks so cool.
Yes, yeah. I played it at a PAX Indie Mega Booth last year maybe or before then. Stick Figure RPG you're playing. It's really funny. I think it might already be out on PC, maybe even on mobile.
Yeah, I thought it was on something.
Who wants to play it on those?
Yeah, you know, it's
those,
made for Switch.
They beta tested it. Now it's on Switch. That's all that matters. Prode, coming spring 2018. The Messenger, summer 2018.
Don't shoot it.
Don't shoot the messenger. Ha, I see what you did there. Full disclosure, Jen's brand management on the messenger, so take it with
collusion.
That game does look awesome. We said it before she got the job, and now we continue to say it. Bad North, summer 2018.
Bad North.
Yeah, Bad North, summer 2018. And then Banner Saga 1, 2, and 3. Then the release is Banner Saga 3, summer 2018. Banner Saga 1 and 2 coming soon.
Damn. I feel like I've bought the Banner Saga like 12 times.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it's on iOS as well. I think I have it on PlayStation, iPad and PlayStation and everything. Yeah, they're gorgeous games.
Like, you happy with this rundown though?
Lumines came out of nowhere because in my head, for whatever reason, I always associated with Sony. So
sure.
To me, it was like a PlayStation game. And was it first party or second party? And turns out, it's coming out on Xbox.
No, you figure the PSP ones were anchored just on PSP. Right. And then it was when they did Lumines PlayStation 3 that it was also on PC, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Maybe Xbox 360 as well. I think it was on Xbox 360 as well. And then they did the Vita version, Electronic Symphony.
Yeah.
No platinum, sucked, but I got the 100%.
Oh, really?
Don't worry. I got the 100% of the trophies. Yeah. I was there for it.
It's perfect for it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's amazing. It's going to be great on Switch. It's going to be great everywhere. I'm super stoked just to have trophies again for it.
Right. I feel like that was one of the games that was like, they were, because around the PSP as well, it was like the kind of the start of the 16:9 thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely for handhelds.
Sure.
Like, there was none of that. So, like, that game was like designed for that type of screen. Mm-hmm. And like, when you look at the Switch, it's like, oh, the Switch is essentially like the new Vita, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's like perfect again. Yeah. It's like, the minute it happened, it was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
So, I loved that a lot. There's a good mix of like new stuff and old stuff. Like, some of it's like, I don't know, Pool Panic, like, sure. Like,
a lot of games on there I don't recognize the name. Right. That I haven't seen. I haven't gone through and watched the direct myself.
And I opened up my, so I got on the plane to you know,
fly here.
Come over here. So I was looking at like some games that, you know, first time I'd gone on the Switch Nintendo eShop or whatever for the first time in like maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's like, oh my man, there's a lot of stuff on
there.
Dude,
every Thursday now, it's like, here's 18 games.
Yeah.
Just like, everywhere.
It's almost like getting into like dangerous territory again of like, maybe start pulling it.
And that's, but it's, now it is that argument still of like, will the, you know, the cream rise of the crop?
Right.
Irish cream, Danny Dwyer.
Thank you.
Because it is, if there's word of mouth for something great, I don't know how many people are blindly jumping on the eShop and being like, that seems like a cool title. Now, I do know one person. His name's Cool Greg. Cool Greg comes in all the time asking me about random ass Switch titles I've never heard of, but he likes
Malacca.
The title.
Have I played Malacca?
I looked it up because of
Jared Petty. Jared Petty loves Moolaka.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like, I didn't know about that game, and now I've heard about it from multiple people, so it's happening.
Yeah.
Like, the curation is there, but it's the same way the curation of the PlayStation Store is happening.
Totally.
Where it's just like, sure, there's great stuff on there, and you know a lot of the great stuff, but, like, you know the AAA, not the AAA, not AAA quality, like, you know, like a fucking Assassin's Creed. You know the AAA PSN game.
Right.
But what about that AB tier, like, totally. Before you get to the Fs, right?
And I think it's still the readability on Switch, because you open it up and it's like, it's chronological.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, PSN still isn't. You have to find, like, to go into, like, new games and then all and all that shit.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, featured and all that. I feel like there's so many levels of just getting to, like, what's new on the PSN.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. They make it so hard. Yeah. Today, somebody wrote in, I put in the, you know, we'll get to the official list coming up. Mm. Remember, you got to do that. Remember, okay. It's okay. Everybody reads off the page now. Don't worry. They let that die when you left.
No, I'm going
to
do it.
You think Gary Whittick even remembers to show up here half the time? Like, you don't have to worry about it.
I mean, there was that clip
I'm
where
miles away. Miles away.
Hey, man, that guy's fucking screenwriting shit.
A kid wrote in and said, have you looked at Minefield yet? Shoe, you're slipping. And today there's a game called Minefield out, right?
Like,
and so I looked in there.
Minesweeper.
And that's what it is. It's totally a Minesweeper clone. But here's where I was like, because the kid, you didn't give me enough context in your question, but it was enough for me to look into it. And I was like, oh, okay, it's a Minesweeper clone. And then the image that, like, when you were clearing the tiles was a woman's bare back. Like, but then I did the best to look around.
Finally.
And it didn't look like she was naked. It looks like she's, like, in maybe just a low-cut dress. Right. And we're looking at her back, and I was like,
sexy solid.
Is this only screenshot that's been released because the rest are very much like.
Right. Mm-hmm, what was this on?
This is on PlayStation 4.
Of course.
So we'll
it
see.
Is.
We'll see. I need everybody get to the bottom of it. If you want, that's
get to the bottom.
You can put to the you're wrong in there if you want. Let's know what's happening.
Video games, man, never change.
Awesome to see Nintendo year two now, the Switch, second year at GDC doing the Nindies event. I'm excited to see the stuff. A lot of these games I will be playing.
And most of this is like spring.
Yeah.
So like, there's more E3, they'll have a whole other list of 13
this
games.
This is just what they did last year, right? Where they seeded that. Here's what the next few months look like in terms of our big releases. Here's something we're teasing down the line. And here's like something to keep you going outside of those big tentpole.
Because GDC is not like a...
It's not a consumer-facing show. Yeah, totally. It's getting there, though.
Yeah.
This year has been the year where a lot of people writing in and be like, are you guys doing like a party or a meetup? And I was like...
Right.
For GDC? Like, no. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, like PAX or anything where we're
I wonder if that's why, because for the past couple of years, PAX and GDC have been like within 2 days of each other, and this year they're not.
Yeah.
So I wonder if people have a bit more space.
Tolerance for partying?
Yeah, maybe.
Number two, Ubisoft has declared victory against Vivendi. This is via Yahoo.
Yves Guillemot is holding an axe.
Exactly, right? He's standing on top of Vivendi's crushed corpse. Today, Ubisoft announced that it has signed an agreement with Vivendi for its full exit from Ubisoft's share capital, with the sale of all of Vivendi's little more than 30 million shares. The transaction includes an investment by two new long-term investors, the relationship investing arm of Ontario's Teachers Public Equities Division, and Tencent, a share buyback by Ubisoft, an acquisition of shares by the Guillemot Brothers SE, and an accelerated book building with institutional investors. You want to talk about how, like, sometimes our street smarts don't carry over to the world of stock smarts. What the fuck are you talking about, Yahoo?
Book building.
All right. Following the implementation of the transaction, Vivendi will no longer hold any shares in Ubisoft and has committed not to acquire any shares in Ubisoft for 5 years.
That's so weird.
As part of the transaction, Ubisoft and Tencent have also announced today a strategic partnership that will significantly accelerate the reach of Ubisoft franchises in China in the coming years. Here is a quote, I believe, from Yves Guillemot, but I could cut out the context. Today, Ubisoft is fully reaping the benefits of our long-term strategy and the successful transformation towards a more reoccurring and profitable business. Ubisoft is perfectly positioned to capture the numerous video game growth drivers in the coming years. We are focused more than ever on delivering on our strategic plan.
Usually,
I'd cut out the bullshit press release quotes. However, you just fucking slayed a dragon.
Right.
That when this all started and Vivendi was slowly buying shares and it was going on for years. Exactly. Yeah. And it's going to be a hostile takeover. And it was Yves Guillemot like out there being like, we can't let this happen. Help us, everyone. And then I remember like, these guys are fucked. It's over. Ubisoft is totally going to get bought by these guys.
Yeah, death by a thousand cuts. It'll happen.
And then, you know, to the credit, Yves and Ubisoft were like, you know, no, we're going to double down on what we do best. We're going to go make these games that are our services. We're going to make these games that are the open world things people love. We're going to take time off. We're going to make smaller things. And they turn it around. We're able to fight them off. It's crazy.
It's weird. There's so many Western studios. And I mean, Ubisoft they have a big presence in North America, up in Canada, but obviously they're French as well. There's a reticence to sort of, I don't know, there's more of a desire for maybe a lot of the money that's coming from China, because I feel like there's less influence happening. Like, there's a bunch of studios, like Digital Extremes, for instance, one of the, you know, the studio we just recorded a documentary on, they eventually did get bought out in 2014, or they sold a majority stake to a Chinese company, Epic,
yeah.
Have a bunch as well, with what they're doing. And like Tencent is a really good...
Tencent's everywhere, which is kind of getting scary.
Right.
That they seem to be involved, they have like shares in everyone all of a sudden. Yeah. And it's like, all right.
But it might be a good fit for them, because like Rainbow Six Siege is like crying out for a free-to-play version in the Asian market. I don't think it has at the moment. And like so many, like Call of Duty has through them, and like so that kind of at least makes a little bit more sense. The part that I love the most is this fucking 5-year restraining order.
Yeah, right. You can't like, even fucking snip our stock from here on
like,
out.
I don't understand. Like, I wonder what happened at a certain stage where they were like maybe this whole thing was a tactic to drive up the price a bit,
yeah,
so that they could eventually sell it back to them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's, you know, it's they're obviously very happy that they don't have to worry about this anymore. The Guillemot family has gotten a bunch more of their stock back as well.
Yeah.
I think that type of growth makes a lot more sense. Than what Vivendi were probably going to be able to provide to them. I'm sure Ubisoft are delighted.
Ubisoft, I think, have been killing it lately. I think
they have turned stuff around. I was very critical of them and their sort of formula in the past. There's something between For Honor and Rainbow Six Siege.
Sure.
They have like, and actually, I'll put my hands up and say The Division has come on leaps and bounds since it got announced.
Yeah.
Like, they have figured out something with games as a service that I think everyone else is trying to emulate.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them.
Now, I noticed when we started this story, Andy Cortez ran into the room. Now, Andy, as we covered in the Far Cry 5 party mode, you are dating Yves Guillemot. So what was it like today with him?
Oh, no, I'm dating a girl who works in PR at Ubisoft. I'm not dating Yves Guillemot.
You have nothing to add
and
to this story.
It's Eve. It's no S.
All right, well, I've been doing this 11 years, so it's cool that you came from Funhouse or whatever and you think you know what you're doing.
Breaking news, guys. We fucking did it. Hyper Light Drifter is coming to the Nintendo Switch. None of you have an excuse to not play it. Just breaking news.
It didn't make the list.
Was it in the Nindies?
Nintendo just tweeted it like 6 minutes ago. It was not in the Nindies showcase.
Wow.
Everybody, we did it! We did it! Yeah!
I finally played that game!
Woo! It's my favorite game ever, dude.
Is it really a game of the year? A game of all time?
Top 10.
Okay. Top 10. Okay.
Of the past, 4 years.
We'll see.
Okay.
I love it, though.
Now we got to get Simpsons Hit and Run on there for Cool Greg.
He fucked it up. It was a Baker's Dozen before. Now it's 14.
Well, it wasn't at the Nindies event, so that counts.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean?
Okay.
GDC. It's like the pinata of independent games coming to the Switch. You're not going to... I went to the Indie Mix last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You hosted it before. I flew in late last night, so...
hosted it before. We've
Mike
hosted
Mahardy
it before.
Mike Mahardy hosted it.
I know, yeah. From that washed up site, that husk of a site, GameSpot. You left and you sunk. You left them and you sunk them, and now they're over there. No, I'm kidding. They're doing great stuff, and I love Mike.
I love GameSpot.
No, we love Mike, too. It's just fun, right? But I went there and, like... It was ridiculous. First off, the games that were there, and they're like,
it looks so busy.
It was super busy. The games were awesome. I saw so much amazing stuff.
Was that in the same place on Mission again?
No, they put it in a brand new place.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, where was it before?
Mission and I want to say 6th or 7th?
Well, maybe it was the same place. I thought this was the first time it was in this place, because I thought it was IGN for years, and then I thought it was Patreon, and then I thought...
No, it was IGN, then it was this place.
Oh, Kovo or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, then it was
big glass windows at the front.
Yeah. And then a bar off to your left?
Yes.
Yeah, same place.
Good place.
Totally packed in. Oh, yeah, it was a really cool event space. But the amount of games I saw, and then people were like, well, you know, we might be coming to another popular... And then they did, like, pass me Switches that had the game. I'm like, wow, man, wow. They're everywhere. Like,
did you see Ed McMillan's tweet about Meat Boy on Switch?
No.
It's fucking insane. He tweeted it, like, maybe 2 days after they released the new Super Meat Boy on Switch. He said that the, like, first 24-hour sales on Switch were, I think, either higher or matched what they sold on Xbox Live Arcade in the first 24 hours. Like,
what? You keep seeing those stories. And I that was my fear when it was every Thursday there's 18 games going up.
Yeah.
That I was like, all right, here we go. This is how the bottom falls out and you stop seeing the...
Right.
Still to this day, you're seeing people put out things that are like, hey, we put out this game and it, like, Blossom Tales, right? The one that looks like Super NES Zelda. They tweeted like that. Hey, the Switch copies, like, save the studio. We can keep going because it did so well. FDG, who I think is their publisher, tweeted that out, quote tweeted. That's where I saw it. I digress, even if it wasn't that, but I think it is. That other people have just, every time, like, this is sold more combined than everything else has.
Which must be a visibility issue. Like, because that's Steam's biggest problem, PC's biggest problem is that, is that every once in a while, like in the past couple of weeks, everyone's been playing Into the Breach, is probably like a really big popular game that's on Steam right now. And that's like a really good game. And it's from a studio that made FTL and everyone's like really happy about it and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's like probably other bunch of games that have come out in the past 3 weeks that we're just not talking about because Steam just gets, and we had that, when we put the Horizon doc up, we got flooded into that whole like ecosystem of new games and forum posts for what's new on Steam. And it's just like, it's like a torrent, it's like it never stops.
Yeah, you can't, you get
at least
off.
Like on Switch, it's like Thursday.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
But like even PSN and XBLA.
But you make a great point about PSN, where it is like, if I wasn't reading it or looking at the PlayStation blog or looking at Kotaku, there's no easy way to jump on the PSN, I feel like, and see it immediately and cleanly what it is. You can you can go into new releases and keep cutting down to finally get to there. But even then, it's also got DLC loaded
got
in there
usually. Pre-orders in there. Like I went to get, I think it was Burnout Remastered. I finally finished editing the Warframe piece one. And
I'm
going to
treat
I got like 2 hours. I'm going to play Burnout. And I went in there and the first like five things were pre-orders for Far Cry 5. Which is like, and I actually am looking forward to that game.
Oh,
but it's just like, come on guys, like just let me see the games.
Nintendo's doing something right, man. Everybody's super engaged.
For now, but
let's
talk in 12 months.
Exactly, when you come back for next GDC, we'll see where But I think it's that, you're talking about discoverability is better.
Right.
The storefront's better. And I think the fact that most games are not cheaper than they are other places, but it is that you go on there and these are indie titles. So, sure, I'll take a shot on this. I'll give you a couple bucks. Number three. I want your read on this one.
Okay.
There's a new CD Projekt Red studio opening up. Located in the city of Wrocław, southwestern Poland, the new studio will join forces with CD Projekt Red Warsaw and Krakow and bolster development of Cyberpunk 2077, the upcoming futuristic AAA role-playing game. Consisting of 18 talented industry vets, Wrocław-based developer Strange New Things will form the core of the new studio. Quote, the team is strong, and I'm sure we have the experience and creative firepower to make Cyberpunk 2077 an even better game, said one of the guys from that studio, whose name I won't butcher. Aside from their immense technological knowledge and artistic flair, the core team of CD Projekt Red, Wrocław, are just great people, says Adam Bradowski.
Badowski.
Yeah, I dropped an R in there. Badowski. It's just, Wrocław has me reeling.
Yeah.
If this is a boxing match, that one punched me in the face, and now I'm just seeing stars, and I'm just saying whatever names come to my head there. The game director for Cyberpunk 2077 said, CD Projekt Red is not a typical game developer. We put gamers, creative freedom, and quality games above making business. These guys not only share this approach, but much like the rest of the team, think that this attitude is essential to creating epic video games. You did some stuff with them, CD Projekt Red.
I did.
Folks.
I interviewed Anna Badowski. He's the gentleman with Marcin Nowinski who founded the studio back in the 1991. I guess he was there pretty early on. He worked at the studio that they sort of bought over to start making the first Witcher game. It makes sense. So that, like, one of the sort of the unfair advantages that said that Projekt has is that the cost of the like economy that Poland has sitting within the EU, and they have their own currency as well, means that they're like not the most competitive economy in Europe, but it means that the cost of employing people there is significantly lower than it would be in, say, Germany next door.
Gotcha.
So it makes total sense to them. And also they have, they're similar to Ireland in a way in that like they have a lot of IT-focused professionals. Like it was very popular there for, you know, sort of as they came out of socialist communist rule, there was always a sort of desire to work on electronics and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they have like a lot of I would say a society that's very like video game friendly, and a lot of professional people who are sort of interested in that line of work. So I think they have like the perfect sort of thing of like a pretty creative, digitally focused like society, and also it's relatively cheap to other places in Europe to employ people there. So like, that's kind of, it's kind of like a no-brainer for them to add on to the Krakow and Warsaw offices with like another one. Interesting though, because like the team is pretty big over there, and they're all essentially working on Cyberpunk now, it looks like. They have their little GOG thing where it's kind of like separate studio kind of.
Yeah.
I'm sure there wasn't that many people working on the Soul Calibur Geralt stuff. And obviously they have a Gwent team as well. But like they employ like a lot of people. Like I think I can't remember exactly, we say it in the doc we did, but maybe 200, 250 people at the Warsaw office. That might also include GOG and stuff though as well. So yeah, it's cool. I think, you know, hopefully we'll hear about that game sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you figure that's, I mean,
E3 maybe
the Twitter account did that beep thing not too long ago. Like I think they're teasing something coming online. I would expect, hopefully, yeah. I would hope I'm, for a trailer at E3.
I think in retrospect, especially with the success of The Witcher 3, which they perhaps weren't expecting,
yeah.
The early announcement of Cyberpunk, whenever studios do that, I'm beginning to realize from doing these docs that, like, sometimes it's about getting fans involved.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about putting up a flag so they can get publisher investment. Mm. So, like, maybe that was part of it as well.
Sure.
And then once Witcher 3 did so well for them financially, yeah. It's like, oh, no, we're fine. We're good. We're all right. So
it's one of those. I'm never a big fan of, you know, teasing your game too early and losing juice. But yes. I think the way they did this with just, like, basically key art in the title and Cyberpunk and this is what it is, it's left us all to have the flame be stoked whenever something like this pops up. I'm like, oh, are we close? I'm not sick of hearing about it yet because I don't know anything about it.
So, because they kept silence since. Yeah. If they had started doing the whole...
Dev diaries. We're going to give you a weekly glimpse into what we're doing. Yeah, nobody would care.
Or like a year later, they mention it again on something else. Mm. Like, Marcin's whole thing was that he would not talk. Like, we joked. Last year, we did a GDC interview with Marcin Iwiński after, which was the sort of precursor to our we did a six-part documentary on the studio later that year. And, like, I jokingly asked him about Cyberpunk and he's like, no, like, I don't, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
They just had a thing.
Radio
Do
silence.
Not talk about it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear about it. Business-wise, this makes a lot of sense for them. And, you know, culturally, also having all your studios within one general region makes a lot of sense. You know?
Yeah.
They have offices. Obviously, they have offices in LA. They have offices doing other things. But that's not like dev. That's more marketing and
sure.
Stuff
yeah,
like
your
that.
American branch, yeah. Right, of PR and stuff like that. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Number four, a fun one, kind of, from you. Well, I mean, depending on your definition of fun. From Gizmondo. Or Gizmodo, sorry. US, I'm just dropping letters in all over the place. And I
watch that switch, Gizmondo's coming back.
Mondo.
Sticky balls,
US too. Navy is shooting shit with a 360 controller. The United States Navy's newest submarine, the USS Colorado, went into service this weekend. In the Pentagon's announcement, Secretary of Navy Richard V. Spencer called the vessel a true marvel marvel of technology and innovation. But part of the 377-foot-long Virginia-class submarine is operated with a 12-year-old Xbox 360 controller. V is what it says, but me. Yeah, no, it's a misspelling of the USS Colorado is able to launch Tomahawk missiles at submarines and ships, but it can also be used to transport special operation troops and conduct surveillance. The Xbox controller is used to maneuver the photonic mass sensors that have replaced telescopes in modern submarines. The Associated Press reports that is the first attack submarine that uses a gaming controller. The U.S. military has used Xbox 360 before, for instance, to operate a high-energy laser gun for blasting drones and mortar shells. So that's just cool.
Because you're violence in video games, hot minute.
I mean, why not? It's a great controller. USB, plug it right into the PC, it works.
If nothing else, the Xbox 360 pad... is if there was ever a controller where you weren't sure if it was going to work in a machine, the 360 pad is the one that, like, nine times out of ten works.
Yeah.
Like, PC, plug and play, done and dust. Even the new one, even the Xbox One doesn't have that sort of, like, reliability. So
right, yeah, that's why we have, well, I think we have one that we keep bumming around here just for when people bring in games of, like, I don't want it because even the wireless dongle and stuff.
It's like a USB mouse, man. You just keep it around.
It's going to be. It's going to work.
There you go.
Number five, Fortnite makes a mil. This is from Sensor Tower. Yep. Their second appearance on the show this week. In less than a week, Fortnite has become a bona fide sensation on mobile, topping the iPhone download charts in more than 40 countries, despite still being invite only.
Wow.
Now, thanks to Sensor Tower store intelligence data, we have a first measure of how successful the game has been so far on the revenue front. According to our estimates, Fortnite has already grossed more than 1.5 million worldwide on iOS, with 1 million of that earned during the first 72 hours after IAPs went live. This places the game well ahead of its primary rivals in the burgeoning mobile survival game genre during the same post-launch period.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Have you played yet?
The mobile version?
Yeah.
No, haven't yet.
It's good.
It's so funny because, like, PUBG's one came out then like 2 days ago.
And now, so yesterday there was confusion on the show.
Right.
The boat got rocked by somebody in your wrong saying PUBG is out now on iOS. And we were really?
Right?
How do we miss it? It was something that came out like right as we were getting ready to go live.
Ah,
that they finally were like, it's live. That, of course, led to Tyler Cabs writing in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and saying, in response to Fortnite launching on mobile, it appears that PUBG does not want Fortnite to gain the advantage in the mobile arena. I have played both and find PUBG runs smoother on my iPhone 8. Do you think either of these games will become constant mobile games? Or do you think they will have a rise and fall similar to Pokemon Go or Animal Crossing Pocket Camp? Love the show, Tyler.
I think if either of them are going to, it's going to be Fortnite. To me, Fortnite has... And I'm somebody who enjoys PUBG more than Fortnite personally, but like I totally understand why Fortnite is successful with the demographic that it has.
It's well, I mean, for me, the reason I'll play Fortnite on mobile probably more than I ever will on in PUBG, I'm sorry, more than I ever will PUBG mobile, is just the fact that the progression's tied together.
Right.
That it's the same start screen, it's the same everything. I'm like, oh, like I was talking about yesterday on the show, like we had this question about has the way you game changed as you've gotten older?
Right.
And I was bringing in, exactly. And my reference was, you know, so the kid who wrote in was talking about how, like, you know, he used to look for seams in the game, try to break it. What are the rules? Whereas mine is, you know, like, well, now when I play it, it's all about progression. I want to feel like I'm, even if I'm putting 15 minutes into something, I'm making headway into something.
But whether that be the game or the platinum trophy.
Exactly,
or something,
exactly. Like, and so, like, for Fortnite to be there where I'm going to pop in and it's like, cool, those stats are getting counted with my other stats, and maybe I earn the Valor points or whatever they call them to go spend in the shop. Like, that's what'll, I think, make me use it. I don't think it'll be constant for me. Like, I really enjoyed Fortnite over the weekend when I played it. I want to get back to it, but Far Cry 5 is upon us. Monster Hunter is getting a new monster. There's a million other things that'll make it go, okay, this is like similar to what Friday the 13th was last year, where this will be like, okay, I have 20 minutes. I want to do something quick. But I don't know. I haven't seen the translation yet of what it means for me as a mobile player. So I would imagine, right now, it's going to do what every mobile game that crosses over to us does, where both PUBG and Fortnite expand really wide and then contract over time to a core base.
And I feel like Fortnite is just better set up in loads of ways. Like art-wise, it looks more like I would play that more on my phone than, like, I don't want to play, like, I didn't want to play, like, old Ghost Recon games on my phone, so I'm not going to want to play PUBG on my phone. And also, like, you know, if we're looking at that demographic of, like, teenagers who are, like, getting together and doing social play, which is what Pokemon Go was kind of all about, obviously the real world stuff isn't in there, but, like, if you're going to pal up with a bunch of people, like, you're, like, at, you know, Starbucks or, like, hanging out in the corner or doing whatever, like, you just jump into a game really quickly. To me, Fortnite just feels like a better match for that. And that's, and it's obviously way more popular with that demographic as well.
And it's something, you know, with Khalif yesterday I was talking about, where Fortnite...
Oh, Kaka Beware is here. Love that man.
That's a good League of Heels reference if that went over your head.
Spawn on me, represent.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
It was the idea that Fortnite just seems to move faster and have less stakes than PUBG does.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, PUBG, for me, is like, this is a great hiding spot. I'm going to put myself in the corner. I'm going to wait here and try to get this chicken dinner. Whereas Fortnite, for me, and granted, I'm, again, basing this off the tip of my gameplay with it, is like, cool, it loads super fast. The games are frantic. I feel like I can kill people. I'm going to run around and go see what's over there and do this thing and not have it be like... intense. Like, PUBG is intense when I play, right? Like, I'm listening for footsteps and I'm doing all those different things. And I do that in Fortnite, but I'm playing Fortnite on the phone with the sound off and just looking for on the radio, you know, like, what's happening, what's attacking.
It's like, in a way, it's like Call of Duty and Battlefield. It's like they're opposite sides of the same coin, slightly different flavors of chocolate.
Yeah.
It's like the Call of Duty is more like, you know, in time to kill, time to death is really high. Battlefield was a little bit more cerebral, but, like, similar enough, right? And like PUBG, you can play fast and loose if you want to, but, like, generally, like, it's a fairly tactical game, and that's why I love it, because I love tactical shooters. Sure. Fortnite's not that. Fortnite's a different thing. So, yeah, I different strokes kind of for different 100%. Folks, but I feel like if the tactical game is not one that you play on mobile, the fun one is what you play on
mobile. Exactly, where it's like, oh, well, like, even yesterday I was showing it off to people, right? And again, I have terrible stats, so what do I care? But it was like, okay, cool. And then Kevin got called away, and I was like, oh, and he passed the phone back, and I was like, well, I'm just going to quit the game. I'm not going to, like, worry about finishing it.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have more breaking news? You ran back in here.
Not huge news.
Okay.
Well, coming.
Nidhogg 2 coming to Switch.
What? Oh, shit. Nidhogg 2 coming to Switch. Look at Andy Cortez. Look out, Andrew Goldfarb.
Jason Schreier, eat your heart out, man.
Yeah, look out. The Dark Knight of News is dead.
Is he making
now, we got a Batflack of News over there.
Robin.
Andy. Huh?
Robin of News?
No, that's Jonathan Dornbush.
Batboy?
Jonathan Dornbush.
What was the shit? What was the non-Batman? It wasn't Robin. It was Batboy. Batkid. Wasn't there one?
The documentary about the sick kid?
No. Oh, God,
that's
what
it
was.
Bat Kid.
Yeah, that was rad. No, the... Wasn't
Bat Mite? You want to be Bat Mite from another dimension? That can be Andy, sure.
Let's keep going.
Okay, sorry. I'll sit here and talk about obscure Batman stuff all day if you want to.
Was it not
Asriel?
Bat
you want to be Asriel? Probably. I think there was a thing...
It was Batgirl.
I think Silver Age, there was when Superman, and there would be alternate stories where, Superman's kid was Superboy and Batman's kid was Batboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, fucking... Do your own thing, kid. Stop trying to emulate your fucking parents.
That's a good point. Don't do it. Number six, final story. The Witness dev is offering $20,000 to underrepresented devs. This is via gamesindustry.biz. The developers behind acclaimed puzzle title The Witness are now offering grants to indie game makers from traditionally underrepresented groups. Independent studio...
Thecla.
Thecla, thank you.
San Francisco's own.
Oh, I know, Jonathan Blow. Jonathan Blow, and he wants you to know that these are his games. Remember that, you know that Curtis Blow song? I'm riffing off.
That's really, it's good. Anyway. That's really good.
Independent studio Thecla announced the new initiative via its website and is promising lump sums of between $3,000 and $20,000 to between 3 and 6 people. The funds are to be used on finishing their games, primarily grid-based puzzle games. This is in part because the studio is working on one such game now as its next project. Quote, these grants are intended to support creators who are underrepresented in today's games industry or who do not receive much support from the existing structure the team wrote. In Thecla's eyes, this applies to women, people of color, disabled people, trans or gender non-binary, LGBTQIA, or people with mental health issues. The studio is also keen to reach indies from outside North America, Europe, and other Western nations, as well as those who do not speak English as a first language. Quote, this list is not exhaustive, end quote, the team notes, adding that developers may question eligibility when they submit.
There you go.
I thought that was cool.
That's rad. John Blow is like, we did a documentary on, not to keep bringing up our bloody work, but we did a documentary on The Witness.
Documentary on Noclip?
We did one on The Witness, like this time last year. It was around GDC, right?
Yeah, you did a whole, that was the little ones, right? Like yeah.
And actually, so here's the funny thing. I think you can figure out what game they're working on if you watch that series.
Oh, really?
If you watch the Frog Fractions Part 1 doc and the Witness one, you can kind of put together what game John Blow's working on, I think. Not many people have figured it out.
Okay.
But Jim Crawford talks about one of the games that's in there, and I think that might be what they're working on. And it is a grid-based puzzle game.
You're blowing them up. Number Munchers is back.
The guy is like, I remember meeting him when we did the doc, and he sat down for 4 hours and barely took a bathroom break and like talked for 4 hours. Like talking for fucking 4 hours, especially if you're not like somebody who does this every day.
Sure.
It's like really exhausting. I remember like thinking when, you know, Indie Game the Movie, they kind of gave one version of him.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking what it would be like. Would he be that sort of auteurist, you know, maybe prima donna, you could say. Come across. And he's like one of the nicest fucking dudes.
Every time I've had passing conversations with John Blow, he's always been nice to me. And it's like not like Greg Miller. It'd be pretty easy to be pretentious to me, and he's always been. No, he's always been cool.
He's super, and I'd say one of the most like intimidatingly intelligent people I've ever talked to. Yeah, like he's very much a smart person, which I think might make people feel intimidated by him,
especially but people like me, dumb people.
Right, me too. But I feel like this is like totally down like their street, and I can't wait to see what they work on next. I adore The Witness.
Yeah, I appreciated it. Played it, and then I was like, I get it. These aren't my kind of games, but I love what you're doing. See you later.
Yeah.
I'm going to bail now.
Did you see the thing?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't see much. Right. I just played around for an hour. I was like, all
right. That game was one of the most amazing reveals I think I've ever experienced in my life.
Cool, Greg. Cool, YouTube me the reveal. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. In the vein of this news story, there's a question from kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Oi writes in and says, I was looking after my cousin the other day. We always loved playing games together as kids, but unfortunately at 14, he started to develop early onset arthritis that affected his hands to the point where he couldn't play anymore. Eventually, the rest of his mobility started to suffer as well. We could still play games together, but only turn-based strategy games, as his hands just aren't nimble enough to play anything in real time. The other day we were playing and I saw a tear running down his cheek. I asked him what was wrong. He said he couldn't do it anymore. Just holding the controller hurt too much. Then he asked me to lean in closer and whispered to me, if I wanted to know what games were coming to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
Jesus,
that was a
Christ.
Good one. That was a good one. Good job, Oi. I love a good swerve.
That was a fucking turn.
There was a beyond one where we were talking about
on
parents
one.
Dying, and I started cracking up, and Clements and Colin looked at me like, what are you doing? And then we got to the kick.
I was all about ready to talk about Able Gamers and the quad stick.
Well, Able Gamers, Steven, a frequent contributor to our show. Right. Obviously, I'm not mocking any of these things. Right. So it was just a good one from Oi. If I'm going to talk about abortions and dead parents, come on, we got to, you know. I think the Oi can make us turn here.
Speaking of PUBG, I played PUBG with Steve.
Oh, yeah?
And this dude's a fucking murder house.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. We did duos and we fucking swept up.
What I love about Steve and Able Gamers, of course, if you're not familiar with Able Gamers, they're this awesome non-profit video game charity organization thing that helps obviously disabled people figure out how to play video games, right? And helps them with controllers and does all the stuff.
Watch that NoClip documentary coming 2018.
2018, anytime soon. And Steve was one of the people nominated for a trending gamer at Game Awards. And like I said, he's written in multiple times here for questions. Mm. He does, when I reach out for a question for the show, he obviously responds with a great written thing for me to read on the show.
Right, yeah.
He does that privately as well.
Right.
Where
yes.
I had a friend or a best friend DM me on Reddit and be like, "Hey, this is what I'm going through and I'm struggling." And I was like, "What's your email?" And he gave me the email and I just like, "Steve, here's this guy. He needs help. He needs questions." Right. And Steve was like back and forth with him about what it is. It's awesome people, awesome stuff.
Incredible folks. Now.
But where do I go for these Digital Mama Shop games and all that, Chess?
The official list of upcoming software as listed. Okay, we can start again. The official list of upcoming software as on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday, Andrea Renee.
There you go.
Was that it?
Yeah, you were pretty close. You missed like one word in there. We're not going to say, yeah. Out today.
Music's new.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? We didn't have a jingle? We had to have the jingle. I might not have gotten as into it.
Yeah,
I might probably. Not laid it on as
very
thick,
jazzy.
You know what I mean?
That was very thick.
Out today, Cloak and Dagger character and level pack DLC for LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2. PUBG Mobile, as I mentioned, it's free to play. Right. Attack on Titan 2 for PlayStation 4, ooh. Xbox One, Switch. Cool, did I see you were playing that?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, you like it?
I have it on PS4.
Right. Yeah. All right.
That game looks real fucked up. Just like the first
just
one.
Just like Assassin's Attack on Titan. Yeah. Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One. That was always one people really liked, but I never played it.
That was the Irish guy.
That was the one that was like when they put out Origins on Xbox. Wait, is that right? Yeah.
It was Black Flag. Wasn't that a spinoff of Black Flag?
Yeah, this is the one that was like when they put out the first Assassin's Creed on Xbox and PlayStation 4. I'm sorry, Xbox One and PlayStation 4. This was the PS3 360 one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's an Irish guy. Okay. Irish protagonist.
You can keep saying that over and over again, I guess.
A bit of iron in here. Yeah, I'm Jacksepticeye.
Assault Gunners HD Edition, PlayStation 4 and PC. Audio Beats on PlayStation VR. Don't Bite Me, Bro
Don't
on PlayStation
Bro.
4. That's a good one. The title. I don't know about the game. Earthlock Festival of Magic on PlayStation 4. Floor Plan on PlayStation VR. Ooh. Mahjong
Gold
on PlayStation 4.
Gold!
It's good.
Mahjong.
Minefield on PlayStation 4, which might have some kind of nudie thing in there. We're going to check it out and you're wrong. Neuro Voider on PlayStation Vita.
That might be the most PS Vita game I've ever heard.
Neuro Voider.
Octahedron on PlayStation 4.
I take it back. That is.
RBI Baseball 18 on PS4, Xbox One. Sea of Thieves on Xbox One and PC.
Is that out?
Yeah, that's out,
oh, really?
out. Yeah.
Shit, I saw a lot of videos dropping. I thought it was another preview round, but cool.
No, yeah, it's out. Everybody's doing their reviews in progress, obviously, because I think servers just popped live yesterday.
GameSpot had a video of them with the Kraken.
Oh.
Yeah.
You interested at all?
I wish, if I had a, I'm trying to get a group of buddies to get into it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome for that.
Yeah.
I played randoms and I was like, it seems fun enough, but like with people, I think it'd be cool.
Shantae and the Pirate's Curse is coming to Switch.
Oh, Shantae.
The Shantae games are really good. Check it out. Swim out on Switch and then Titan Quest, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. New dates for you. This is not a new date, but it needed to be put somewhere. Proxy is a new mobile game from Will Wright.
Cool.
It was revealed during Unity's keynote at the Game Developers Conference 2018. It's a mobile thing, like I said. I can't find any release date info. I don't know if he set a window there. Like as I said earlier, Luminous Remastered is coming in May. Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PC. And then Gorogoa. Agoa.
I think I played Gorogoa on PC.
It was it's coming soon to PlayStation 4. They said on the blog today. Yeah, you probably did. It was on mobile too. It was Dice Awards. It was gotten a lot of nominations.
I think it was an IGF winner. I might be getting
that makes sense.
Something
else.
Something
it's
like
one
that.
Of the Annapurna's that the one of their publishing label things.
Okay.
So you know it's going to be kooky and good.
Right. Yeah. It's going to look good.
Deals of the day for you, Monster Hunter World is $45 on Amazon.com.
Jesus, really?
That's a good deal.
I haven't bought that yet.
You got to get on it. I'll come help you.
Fucking box copies, though, man.
Good point. Let's jump into reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Brooklinen and Hims. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. Make sure they're the best sheets you can possibly sleep in with brooklinen.com. These are the best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. You upgrade your nightly routine and help feel more rested during the day. As I've said repeatedly, I sleep on these sheets now. They sent them in.
How's your nightly routine?
It's great.
Yeah.
And Portillo looks good in the photos I put on Instagram when he's laying in this bed too. But what I liked about him, Danny, is the fact that first off, they're great. They're soft. They're all the amazing things you'd want there. But on the site, you get to click the little buttons and see all the different color schemes and mix and match on the site. So you see what looks good. And I did it without asking Jen's opinion. And then she was impressed with what I did.
Oh, really?
Because I was just like, let's do the white duvet cover with blue polka dots.
Right.
And then blue sheets. It's good.
Yeah, wives like that.
Impress the wife. You know what I mean? And that you could do it too. Just get some sheets. It's simple, apparently.
Sheet yourself. No, it's
like, sheet yourself?
Sorry, that's not the, that's not their phrase.
No unnecessary markups and fees. Most betting is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing betting brand in the world. You can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury betting underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMESDAILY. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Who wouldn't know how to pronounce Brooklinen? That's like as phonetic as you get.
Yeah.
Brooklinen.
Yeah, I like that.
Brooklinen.
But you get hung up on that. I'm still hung up on this tagline. These are the best sheets ever.
These are the best sheets
what
ever.
What a bold, we're just going to say it.
It's also like it's also colloquial in a nice way. It's like something you say to your buddy. It's not the best sheets ever. It's like these are the best sheets ever.
I like that a lot. Next up is Hims. Did you know 66% of men lose their hair by age 35?
TikTok.
The thing is, when you start to notice, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace what you've lost. That's why Hims is coming to help you. Hims is this service, right, where you can get hair stuff, you can get male vitality stuff, you can get just personal care products in general. And you go there, you sign up, you send photos of yourself. How do I know all of this stuff? Nick and Andy are doing it right now. Yeah, they're doing it.
The two most beautiful people, men, I'll say.
Well, Nick's been struggling with hair loss for a long time. And so he's been, he has a regimen.
That's why he goes to the gym a lot.
I don't know if that helps. I'm so mad about my hair, I'm going to punch this bag.
Which is fucked up because there's so many mirrors in gyms. He's reminded of it constantly.
Yeah, that's why he's using Hims, where he's getting he got personal service. You send in photos. They see what's wrong with you. They try to help you. If you actually need the medication, they link you up with a doctor on there. You do it. It's all super simple through the web and the app from what I've been told. So get on it. Save your hair or just get some cool stuff. Because forhims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. You like that?
That's it. What if I need my snake oil supplement?
You don't want that. That's not what it is. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to forhims.com. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's four, F-O-R-H-I-M-S, forhims.com/gamesdaily. Save your hair. They didn't have a tagline. I'm gonna say
these
save
are the
your
best,
hair.
These are the best hairs ever.
These are the best hairs ever. Let's see where we want to go.
I'm available for marketing, slogans.
No clip is everywhere.
We don't have a slogan, do we? Crowdfunded video game documentaries.
Oof, that's not a slogan.
That's not really a slogan. That's just what we are. That's like McDonald's. We sell fucking food.
Yeah,
it's cheap.
You play them. We dock them. We'll work on it. Michael wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, yesterday, Epic Games released the Paragon assets. They claim to be worth $12 million.
Well, they're worth fucking zero now. Which is fucking
to use in Unreal Engine 4 by anyone creating a project within the engine.
That's cool.
As developers are able to use these assets in either commercial or non-commercial games, what are your thoughts on the possibility of seeing these assets, specifically the characters, in other games or even recreating Paragon?
What if somebody released a game called Garapon?
We're going to bring it back. Listen, it's like that Vine 2 teaser. They're like, you know what? Not enough people cared about Paragon. We're bringing it back.
All the Paragon models will be in Unreal Tournament overnight, I imagine.
That for sure. Yeah.
Right,
yeah. I think it's, first off, shout out to Epic for doing that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's good. Hey, let's just put it all into Unreal. If you want to use it, go ahead and use it. In terms of like the characters showing up, I highly doubt that unless it's going to be very much like we're screwing around and putting Paragon people in here.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like student projects. It's people who are just getting their feet wet. It's going to be like class project games, super small indie stuff that goes out on the PSN or PlayStation or on PC.
One of the things I'm actually like, I really hope happens, just like projecting 20 years in the future, like we'll do an interview somebody about like the first game they ever made and it'll be, yo, I hadn't really played that many games on PC before, but this game called Fortnite came out. And then when I was on the launcher, there was like this Unreal Engine tab and I went there and it was like, oh wow, you can build games for like, you know, it's like, Unreal now as an engine is like far easier to get into than it was like to get a license.
Yeah.
Like 20. Well, actually, I get the Unreal Tournament days, they had like some stuff, but like I love the idea that like somewhere down the line, this sort of openness to be able to give people access to not only engine, but all these assets and stuff will like have that new generation of gamer designing cool and interesting stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like a win-win for them. It's like easy. It's a PR thumbs up.
It'll be more interesting, I feel like, when you start seeing the textures or objects or trees. That'll be really fun when somebody's like, oh, that's a Paragon tree right there. Because that'll definitely happen when you're in Unreal and you have your star art up front and all these things you've made, but you need to just fill it in. It just needs to look like it goes on forever, what you'll fill in there and just take from like the asset library.
When I interviewed Brendan Green, a player unknown, last year, one of the things that he was talking about wanting to do was make PUBG like a platform for people to like make mods themselves in the same way that he did. And that's how we got into game design. Fortnite, right now, between all the updates, between the fact that, first of all, they were making their Unreal Tournament, which hasn't been updated since like last year, God knows, that project's probably just like idle now, which is fair enough. Paragon, which obviously worked on really, really hard for a long time, and the success of Fortnite and all the added new online stuff they've put into that platform is becoming like a perfect engine for people to go in and make their own multiplayer games. So I'm fascinated as to what comes out of Unreal Engine in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Especially if you have all these Fortnite people coming in and coming in with their new exciting ideas, right?
Yeah.
There's this whole idea now that like the Fortnite generation was that Minecraft generation.
Right.
That all those kids who were playing Minecraft and they were like, you know, tweens are now playing it. Because it's like super, it's the same. There's a lot of like common ground in the building between what's going on there. And it makes sense.
And that's something I totally missed. Where I was talking to somebody and we were, man, Fortnite, can you believe it is as successful as it is? That it came from behind. It's doing all this amazing stuff. And I was like, it'll be interesting to see it trace. And they're like, it's easy to trace it back. Like, it's free to play, so any kid can get into it. A parent looks at that and sees it as a colorful cartoon and doesn't see it as like a gritty PUBG. Right. And it's an evolution, or it's a step. It's in the same lane as Minecraft.
Right.
And you're like, oh, fuck, right. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense.
That whole creative social play thing, which like a lot of games have kind of underserved, even still.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's fascinating. So fair play to... The story of Fortnite is fucking bizarre.
When are you doing the doc? Dude, get that doc going.
Well, like I was thinking I'd love to do something on Unreal Tournament, but like we kind of did with the Warframe doc a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they've got everyone knocking down their door now at this stage, but it's such a bizarre story because like Fortnite was like the whipping boy of the games press, the mainstream press, like a year ago for like 3 years. Like, when's it coming out?
Weird trailer got shown by Cliff, and then we never heard about it again.
Forever. Okay. And then it came out, and it was like, oh, this is like a really polished game that doesn't really get a tux in.
Yeah.
Like I can see what you're doing, but like, Epic, like this new generation of Epic, which had this amazing, like Paragon didn't work, and then all the, you know, everyone loves that studio for all the games they made in the past and Gears of War and on. And like, wow, man, like what the fuck is going on now? Like the world's turned upside down.
Yeah.
Like, good for them, man. Fair play to them. They're in like a maelstrom of success. I hope, you know, the problem with free-to-play games is you need to keep chucking coal into that fire to get people doing it. So I'm sure as successful as they are, I bet no one
there is. Burden of their own success.
They're still working hard, I bet, you know.
Drafting Dave writes in line with our questions about playing, creating, and sharing.
Oh, yeah.
And says, hey, kind of funny, Games Daily hosts. What if Dreams was released day and date at Sony's E3 press conference? Marketing Dreams is going to be a huge challenge, and it seems like this would solve the issue. We all love the "and it's out now" announcements, and there would be a lot of hands-on reviews at E3 to help sell it. Thoughts, Drafting Dave?
Sorry, go on.
I just don't think that's in the cards at all, because I don't think you come out on the E3 stage and are able to concisely market it and show why it's awesome and then give it out for free. Put it out right away. And then your thing here, there'd be a lot of hands-on reviews at E3 to help sell it. I really doubt there would be. There wouldn't be from mainstream game press. All of mainstream game press is here. Nobody has time to review it. Nobody has time to
get hooked. Especially a game like that.
Community would be running with it and playing with it, but they're also going to be super distracted by E3 and wanting to talk about that stuff.
I would say, like, I could see it making sense in that the weeks after E3 are just vacant. Like, there's not many games come out in that post, that half June, middle of July. Like, still, it's like the last holdout. It used to be January. It used to be like, you know, there was those little pockets where nobody, and everyone was waiting until August because we're getting into the Christmas season. Yeah. And I feel like the midsummer is like the last standout for dropping a game out. And I think Dreams would do really well then. ultimately, this game is going to succeed or fail based on like Twitch and YouTube and like people making cool stuff and people sending around videos of it. So
I think your best bet with Dreams, honestly, would be to come out. Here's a great trailer or a demo if they're going to do that thing. And then be like, guess what, everybody? The beta is out right now. Get in there and play with the beta, because the beta is going to be huge to it, of word of mouth of I consumer jump in, play it, then start telling my friends about it and get them excited and show them what I built. And
it gives them then that 1-2 punch. Instead of just saying it's out, you essentially get two launches.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Do that, Media Molecule. I know you're listening, Shu. I just sold that game for you. Perfect.
That game looks rad. I hope people like it.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in them video games. Today, Gordon needs help on the PlayStation 4. Gordon. His PSN name is, I'm going to say it like this, G Logan TN.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see that. I was going to say Glogadden.
Yeah, that's what I was, and I stopped myself. G Logan TN, of course, it'll be in the time code descriptions for you. On PlayStation 4, G Logan TN needs help and says, I'm looking to take a break from Platinums. Just recently scooped up number 185.
Count down.
You are an insane human being, G Logan TN, but I appreciate
you. Also, good humble brag.
I'm looking to take a break from Platinums and learn how to play Rainbow Six Siege with some best friends. Best friends who play Rainbow Six Siege, hit up G Logan TN on the PlayStation 4.
I have heard that community is good about onboarding new people.
Shepherding in folks. Yeah. That's good.
Shepherding.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do Fortnite and Rainbow Six Siege Let's Plays.
Right.
And that's why I believe it's called Nitro Rifle and Cheetos Fingers have been playing a lot. That is, of course, Andy and Nick Scarpino.
Jesus.
Oh, you were watching last night? How are they looking? Are they going to be good? Andy's not that great. How is what's his face? Nick.
He was really rude, so I'm pretty sure he's killing
people. Gotcha. Okay, cool. Whoa.
Okay. Well, was that Fortnite or Rainbow Six Siege?
That was Rainbow Six Siege.
Man, take that seriously.
Darn it, I was getting your wrong prepped for you, Danny.
Okay.
But then I closed it.
Yeah, I didn't bring in my laptop this
time. No, you don't need it. There you go. You remember how this goes. No, don't let him editorialize. Before we get to your wrong, I want to give out a required reading.
Oh, nice.
This is by Megan over on The Verge. The title, Toxic Management Costs an Award-Winning Game Studio Its Best Developers. This is...
I saw this.
...an exhaustive report on Telltale that is fascinating to read.
I hadn't a chance to read it yet. It just dropped recently, right?
Today. Yeah. I woke up and saw it making the rounds and stuff. I got to read it. It's really fascinating. I was breezing through it because obviously we had to do a show, and Jen was telling me about it before I took off and stuff. It's awesome because it is one of those things of when Telltale had those layoffs, I think there was, in the general sense, they're so successful in Game of Thrones and Batman. How can they lay off whatever it was part of their company or whatever? And Megan's piece is scathing and unflinching in terms of like, here's what happened and here's where it went wrong and here's who said what and here's how they left the company. And it's fuck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It is fascinating to sort of, I don't want to say rise and fall, because I don't necessarily feel like the fall is maybe too dramatic, but like the story of that studio is fascinating. I think also because they're like relatively local, there's a sort of a intrigue there as well.
Yeah, of course.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, go ahead. Scott Ravel wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I just finished the article about Telltale Games via The Verge. It's so sad to hear that there was such a tumultuous and toxic culture there. It seems things are finally looking up, though, which is great. What do you think Telltale needs to do in order to grow creatively? Obviously, again, I just breezed through the article. Mm-hmm. Everyone should go read it and blah, blah, blah. I think the fact of the matter is, though, you just have to let people be creative. And as whoever the bosses are at Telltale now, the people who are making the decisions leading teams, I don't think they can squelch people's ideas and be like, no, this is the way we're doing it. You have to not lead by committee, but you need to hire the right people and trust in their visions. And if they're making something they believe in, then hopefully everybody else will. And listen to like the overall arching group.
And it seemed like there was so much stuff being made there. At a certain point, it was a little bit like a farm.
Yeah, where they're just, and that's like the biggest thing, right? Yeah.
Especially with other people's IP, because then you don't have the same creative freedom that you do. Why I liked a lot of the stuff they did that was like their own, because it was a little bit, or it like wasn't so like Game of Thrones. It was more like,
Their Batman stuff's been fascinating, because granted, I'm sure DC has pulled them back on certain decisions, but it has been like, we're really changing the lore of Batman here. And this is our universe, and this is how it's going to be represented.
And like The Wolf Among Us, I feel like they had probably probably they could probably do what
they
wanted.
Not
with
as
that
many,
one
I don't think
this,
as many people were like pissed off or doing stuff.
Like creative people need creative freedom, or they just feel stifled.
And I think you're right though, of like not making it feel like a farm there, not making it feel like you're printing the same game over and over again with different coats of paint on it.
Yeah.
I think when they came out and they were announced, all right, cool, we're doing Batman season 2, we're doing the final season of Walking Dead, and we're gonna do Wolf 2. I think that was a great way of like, we are focused. We're doing these three projects. These are the projects we're working on.
Yeah. And we'll as fans of the studio, because they basically own that genre, it's easier for people too. Because it's like, there's not like too much coming.
Yeah, there's not a million different things going on. Danny, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write into a special URL, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, to tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. What did we screw up today?
Okay, what did we screw up today? Some stuff that we actually corrected ourselves. Here's one. This is from Parker Wolf. West of Loathing has been out on PC, Mac, Linux since August 10th, 2017 with iOS, TBA. Also check out their podcast, Video Game Hot Dog.
That's a great that's a great title for a video game podcast.
Beautiful. Assassin's Creed Rogue originally released alongside Unity, not Origins.
That was my confusion. Origins just came out.
Yeah, that's from.
I was picturing the faceless person. Like I knew which version I was thinking of. I just couldn't say it.
Cool. What else we got here? Flashy Andy says, "Oh God, the Polish city is pronounced." I don't know if this is how
not
it's
so
pronounced
easy.
Or
not
whether
so
I'm,
easy,
I'm gonna say like I'm gonna say like ass munch Polish
or
something.
Oh no, he's
but
tricking you.
Wrocław.
Oh yeah, Wrocław. No, we weren't gonna get that.
Okay, beautiful.
Oh, while you're looking through and reading them, shout out to Capitalist Pig, who I got to meet last night in person. And turns out I've known Capitalist Pig for years.
Are you kidding?
He was the one who interviewed me at Beyond 200 and asked the question, is there a podcast Beyond without Greg Miller? And I broke down in tears and said, I hope so. And like, I've told that story a million times.
Right.
And I can picture him.
That's mad.
But I didn't put it together that he was Capitalist Pig anymore.
Right.
So that was, I hugged him last night when I saw him as like, oh, I know you. You've interviewed me and we've talked and I've seen you at events. He's like, hey, and I'm Capitalist Pig, you idiot. I was like, holy fuck.
Sorry for constantly saying you look like Jean Vignacchi. I think I did that.
Hey man, that's a compliment. Yeah.
And I think there might be one here. Greg was definitely using the upcoming Gings jingle when Danny was there.
Thank you.
From the day before Danny left. He didn't use it on Danny's farewell episode, though. Maybe that's why. That's from K Babs.
Danny forgot everything except the final episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily.
I burned it out of my memory because it was too emotional. And sad. I love you so much.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where you can give us that Twitch subscription if you have Amazon Prime. You have Twitch Prime. Remember, I'm talking to you, person, who's just listening on the podcast on Spotify while cooking in the kitchen. Just open your laptop, your phone, whatever. If you have Amazon Prime, which I fucking bet you do, you have Twitch Prime. Every 30 days, you can give away a free subscription. If you don't do it, they just sit on that money and laugh at you.
Fuckers.
Don't let them do that. You logged in, right, on Google Chrome, into your Amazon, right? Great. Open a new tab, Twitch Prime. There it is. Now just click on that, click on that, click on, and there you go. Kind of Funny Games. You can also watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. Danny, where can everybody get you?
Noclip Video. youtube.com/noclipvideo. At Danny O'Dwyer on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you put my name into Google, it's a weird name.
Yeah.
It's like very Irish.
Sure.
It's fine. Danny Dyer sometimes come up. He's like an English actor.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's pretty much me.
Okay.
I'm the one that's never been on EastEnders.
Thank you for coming back.
Pleasure as ever. Thanks for having me.
We miss you. You gotta come back more, huh? Start doing more documentaries here.
I should. If me and Lauren.
There you go. Lauren, that's gonna be a long ass documentary. Lauren can talk, and I love him for it.
I'll like knock on my old house in Oakland and be like, "Hey, do you mind if I stay here for a couple of days?"
I used to edit in that corner. Can
I
edit over there?
Yeah. I launched a company from your living room. Can I? can I hang out, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow Christian Phillips. Former lead of Sony San Diego.
Awesome.
Yeah, as I said it, I questioned it. No, that's right. And KFGD, co-host in the past, will be joining us for the continuation of GDC Week. But until then, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.